going to look at the story of the temptation of Christ today as it's found in Matthew chapter 4. I'll read the first few verses. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." The life of Jesus kind of works like a control group when it comes to analyzing your own life. It can be hard to know, for example, if you're actually dealing with temptation correctly, because your mind and your motivations are already corrupted when the tempter shows up. There's no real way of telling whether or not you dealt with the situation 100% appropriately. But when you watch Jesus at work, you have someone who was never corrupted. You get a pure case study of how the tempter works and how you should deal with it. So, I want you to notice something really important in this story from Matthew's Gospel. First of all, the first temptation was built around a real, actual need that Jesus had. He was hungry. And of course, there's no sin in being hungry. But the devil takes advantage of that to build a case for something that is sinful. "If you are the Son of God," he says, "why don't you turn these stones into bread?" Notice the language the devil uses. It's the language of doubt. Jesus had just been baptized, where the Spirit of God had announced publicly that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. But now, instead of challenging that statement outright, the devil raises just a little doubt. "If you are the Son of God," he says. If. He doesn't say Jesus isn't the Son of God. He just encourages Christ to look for reasons he might not be. And that really forms the foundation for any temptation you might find yourself facing. Usually, you're not faced with an outright challenge to morality or decency. Usually, you find lots of questions racing through your mind. I mean, didn't you actually earn that money you're about to embezzle with all the unpaid overtime you've put in? And don't you deserve a little more attention from that guy at work? Because after all, your husband is always working and he doesn't show the kind of affection he used to. Do you see it? It's almost always in the form of a question that helps you justify what you're about to do. I imagine if Jesus had been interested in entertaining the devil's suggestions, he could have found hundreds of good reasons to turn those stones into bread. He was, after all, hungry, and that was a direct result of having to live in a world that we've ruined. So, what harm could possibly come from Jesus feeding himself? On the surface, it looks reasonable. But the devil almost always builds a reasonable case around something that will lead to utter catastrophe. According to the Bible, Jesus came to live like one of us. More than that, he came to live as one of us. Not once in his ministry did he use his divinity for his own benefit. Not once did he stop setting an example for us by clinging to his Father for hope and support. And to cave in, even once, would have made Jesus something other than what he came to be, our perfect example and our perfect substitute. And of course, Jesus' method of dealing with a perfectly reasonable temptation still gives us the perfect solution for our temptations. In the very next verse, Jesus says something remarkably simple. "It is written." Your best defense, says Jesus, is to stand on what God says, even when doing the wrong thing can be justified or made to appear reasonable. And that, judging by the outcome of this story, is always going to be the better way to live.